claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I think we need a lot of help in New York City and Los Angeles. Officials are offering instructions for citizens what to do in the case of a nuclear attack. In New York, for example, they're telling them to go inside, get in a closet, go to your basement. Look, if New York is hit with a nuke, there's not going to be any basement. There's not going to be any closets to hide. I mean, this is ridiculous. And what in the world do they think they're doing to tell Americans what I'm sorry to say is actually true, that the likelihood, the probability of a nuclear exchange with Russia is growing by the day? But there's virtually nothing any ordinary citizen can do about it. It appears to be the predesignated intention of the handlers of Biden, and this goes all the way up to the Rothschild banking empire, that want to bring about a war between NATO, the U.S., and Russia, where it's very ill-advised. Russia has been warning again and again against it. Russia has the best military equipment in the world, bar none. We're told we're the strongest military. That's just not true. Russia has been stronger. They have better ICBMs, including the Satan II, with multiple independent reentry warheads where a single Satan could take out France. They have the best anti-missile missiles in the world. They have the best anti-ship missiles in the world. They have the best underwater anti-submarine torpedoes in the world. And yet the West wants to provoke a war with Russia? Even TASS, which is a national news service of Russia, is reporting that the Allies are teetering on the brink of a military confrontation with Moscow. Get this. From TASS, the United States and its allies are teetering on the brink of an open military conflict with Moscow, which would be fraught with nuclear tensions. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said in a statement Tuesday, this is Friday, after provoking an escalation of the Ukrainian crisis, an unleashing of violent hybrid confrontation with Russia, Washington and its allies are dangerously teetering on the brink of an open military confrontation with our country, which means a direct armed conflict between nuclear powers. Clearly, such a confrontation would be fraught with nuclear escalation. Putin's been going out of his way to warn that this is something we don't want to have happen. But the West seems to be ignoring it. They could care less. It's as though the West is eager for a war. It's not prepared to fight, while Russia is prepared to fight it, a war it doesn't want. Wow. The Russian diplomat added the tone and focus of Japanese Prime Minister Kishida's remarks on the nuclear weapon issue were perplexing. We have taken note of Japanese Prime Minister Fujita's recent anti-Russian remarks, including his controversial statements on the nuclear weapons issue. Their focus and tone are puzzling. in particular, in order to justify the move to choose Hiroshima as the host city of a G7 summit. A remark was made there was no better alternative to the city in a situation where Russia's use of nuclear weapons and nuclear threats are becoming a reality. Well, but they're becoming a reality not because Russia wants it to become a reality. Here's a very thoughtful piece by Chris Hedges you can find on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. NATO, the most dangerous military alliance on the planet. And he's got it right. Get this. From Princeton. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization and the arms industry that depends upon it for billions in profit has become the most aggressive and dangerous military alliance on the planet. Created in 1949 to thwart Soviet expansion into Eastern and Central Europe, it has evolved into a global war machine in Europe, the Middle East, Latin America, and Asia. NATO expanded its footprint, violating promises to Moscow once the Cold War ended, to incorporate 14 countries in Eastern and Central Europe into the alliance. It will soon add Finland and Sweden. It bombed Bosnia, Serbia, and Kosovo. It launched wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and Libya, resulting in close to 3 million deaths and some 38 million people driven from their homes. It's building a military footprint in Africa and Asia. It invited Australia, Japan, New Zealand, and South Korea, the so-called Asia-Pacific Four, to its recent summit in Madrid at the end of June. It has expanded its reach into the Southern Hemisphere, signing a military training partnership agreement with Colombia in December 2021. It has backed Turkey with NATO's second largest military, which has illegally invaded and occupied parts of Syria as well as of Iraq. Turkish-backed militants are engaged in the ethnic cleansing of Syrian Kurds and other inhabitants of North and East Syria. The Turkish military has been accused of war crimes, including multiple airstrikes against a refugee camp and the use of chemical weapons in northern Iraq. In exchange for President Erdogan's permission for Finland and Sweden to join the alliance, the two Nordic countries have agreed to expand their domestic terror laws, making it easier to crack down on Kurdish and other activists, lift their restrictions on selling arms to Turkey, and deny support to the Turkish-led movement for democratic autonomy in Syria. It's quite a record for a military alliance that, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, was rendered obsolete and ought to have been dismantled. NATO and the militarists had no intention of embracing the beast dividend, fostering a world based on diplomacy and respective spheres of influence and mutual cooperation. It was determined to stay in business, and its business is war. That meant expanding its war machine beyond the border of Europe and engaging in ceaseless antagonism toward China and Russia. NATO sees the future, as detailed in its NATO 2030 Unified for a New Era, as a battle for hegemony with rival states, especially China, and calls for the preparation of prolonged global conflict. China has an increasingly global strategic agenda supported by its economic and military heft, the NATO 2030 initiative warned. It has proven its willingness to use force against its neighbors, as well as economic coercion and intimidatory diplomacy, as well beyond the Indo-Pacific region. Over the coming decade, China will likely also challenge NATO's ability to build collective resilience, safeguard critical infrastructure, address new and emerging technologies such as 5G, and protect sensitive sectors of the economy, including supply chain. Longer term, China is increasingly likely to project military power globally, including potentially in the Euro-Atlantic area. The alliance has spurned the Cold War strategy that made sure Washington was closer to Moscow and Beijing than Moscow and Beijing were to each other. U.S. and NATO antagonism have turned Russia and China into close allies. Russia, rich in natural resources, including energy, minerals, and grains, and China, a manufacturing and technological behemoth, are a potent combination. NATO no longer distinguishes between the two, announcing in its most recent mission statement that the deepening strategic partnership between Russia and China has resulted in mutually reinforcing attempts to undercut the rules-based international order that run counter to our values and interests. On July 6, Christopher Wray, director of the FBI, and Ken McCollum, director general of Britain's MI5, held a joint news conference in London to announce that China was the biggest long-term threat to our economic and national security. They accused China, like Russia, of interfering in U.S. and U.K. elections. Wray warned the business leaders they addressed that the Chinese government was set on stealing your technology, whatever it is that makes your industry tick, and using it to undercut your business and dominate your market. This inflammatory rhetoric presages an ominous future. One cannot talk about war without talking about markets. The political and social turmoil in the United States, coupled with its diminishing economic power, has led it to embrace NATO and its war machine as the antidote to its decline. Washington and its European allies are terrified of China's trillion-dollar Belt and Road Initiative, meant to connect an economic bloc of roughly 70 nations outside U.S. control. The initiative includes the construction of rail lines, roads, and gas pipelines that will be integrated with Russia. Beijing is expected to commit $1.3 trillion to the BRI by 2027. China, which is on track to become the world's largest economy within the decade, has organized the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, the world's largest trade pact of 15 East Asian and Pacific nations, representing 30% of global trade. It already counts for 28.7% of the global manufacturing output, nearly double the 16.8% of the United States. China's rate of growth last year was an impressive 8.1%, although slowing to around 5% this. By contrast, the U.S. growth rate in 2021 was 5.7, its highest since 1984, but is predicted to fall below 1% by the New York Federal Reserve for this year. If China, Russia, Iran, India, and other nations free themselves from the tyranny of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency and the International Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, SWIFT, a messaging network financial institutions use to send and receive information, such as money transfer instructions, it will trigger a dramatic decline in the value of the dollar and a financial collapse of the United States, which is taking place now as I speak. The huge military expenditures, which have driven the U.S. debt to $30 trillion, $6 trillion more than the United States' entire GDP, will become untenable. Servicing this debt alone costs $300 billion a year. We spent more on the military in 2021, $801 billion, which amounted to 38% of total world expenditure on the military, and the next nine countries, including China and Russia, combined. The loss of the dollar as the world's reserve currency will force the U.S. to slash spending, shutter many of its 800 military bases overseas, and cope with the inevitable social and political upheavals triggered by economic collapse. It is darkly ironic that NATO has accelerated this possibility. Russia, in the eyes of NATO and U.S. strategists, is the appetizer. Its military, NATO hopes, will get bogged down and degraded in Ukraine. Sanctions and diplomatic isolation, the plan goes, will thrust Vladimir Putin from power. A client regime that will do U.S. bidding will be installed in Moscow. NATO has provided more than $8 billion in military aid to Ukraine. While the U.S. has committed nearly $54 billion in military and humanitarian assistance to the country. China, however, is the main course. Unable to compete economically, the U.S. and NATO have turned to the blunt instrument of war to cripple their global competitor. The provocation of China replicates the NATO baiting of Russia. NATO expansion and the 2014 U.S.-backed coup in Kiev led Russia to first occupy Crimea in eastern Ukraine with its large ethnic Russian population, and then to invade all of Ukraine to thwart the country's effort to join NATO. The same dance of death is being played with China over Taiwan, which China considered part of Chinese territory, and with NATO expansion in the Asia-Pacific. China flies warplanes into Taiwan's air defense zone, and the U.S. sends naval ships through the Taiwan Strait, which connects the South and East China Seas. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in May called China the most serious long-term challenge to the international order, citing its claims to Taiwan and efforts to dominate the South China Sea. Taiwan's president, in a Zelensky-style publicity stunt, recently posed with an anti-tank rocket launcher in a government photo handout. The conflict in Ukraine has been a bonanza for the arms industry, which, given the humiliating withdrawal from Afghanistan, needed a new conflict. Lockheed Martin's stock price is up 12%, Northrop Grumman up 20%. The war is being used by NATO to increase its military presence in Eastern and Central Europe. The U.S. is pushing for a permanent military base in Poland. The 40,000-strong NATO reaction force is being expanded to 300,000. Billions of dollars in weapons are pouring into the region. The conflict with Russia, however, is already backfiring. The ruble has soared to a seven-year high against the dollar. Europe is barreling toward a recession because of rising oil and gas prices and the fear that Russia could terminate supplies completely. The loss of Russian wheat, fertilizer, gas, and oil due to Western sanctions is creating havoc in world markets and a humanitarian crisis in Africa and the Middle East. Soaring food and energy prices, along with shortages and crippling inflation, bring with them not only deprivation and hunger, but social upheaval and political instability. The climate emergency, the real existential threat, is being ignored to appease the gods of war. The war makers are frighteningly cavalier about the threat of nuclear war. Putin warned NATO countries that they will face consequences greater than any you have faced in history if they intervene directly in Ukraine and ordered Russian nuclear forces to be put on heightened alert status. The proximity to Russia of U.S. nuclear weapons based in Belgium, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, and Turkey mean that any nuclear conflict would obliterate much of Europe. Russia and the United States control about 90% of the world's nuclear warheads, with around 40,000 each in their military stockpiles, according to the Federation of American Scientists. President Joe Biden warned that the use of nuclear weapons in Ukraine would be completely unacceptable and entail severe consequences without spelling out what those consequences would be. This is what U.S. strategists refer to as deliberate ambiguity. The U.S. military, following its fiascos in the Middle East, has shifted its focus from fighting terrorism and asymmetrical warfare to confronting China and Russia. President Barack Obama's national security team in 2016 carried out a war game in which Russia invaded a NATO country in the Baltics and used a low-yield tactical nuclear weapon against NATO forces. Obama officials were split about how to respond. The National Security Council's so-called Principles Committee, including cabinet officers and members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, decided that the United States had no choice but to retaliate with nuclear weapons. Eric Schlosser wrote in The Atlantic, any other type of response, the committee argued, would show a lack of resolve, damage American credibility, and weaken the NATO alliance. Choosing a suitable nuclear target proved difficult, however. Hitting Russia's invading force would kill innocent civilians in a NATO country. Striking targets inside Russia might escalate the conflict to an all-out nuclear war. In the end, the NSC Principles Committee recommended a nuclear attack on Belarus, a nation that had played no role whatsoever in the invasion of the NATO ally, but had the misfortune of being a Russian ally. The Biden administration has formed a tiger team of national security officials to run war games on what to do if Russia uses a nuclear weapon, according to the New York Times. The threat of nuclear war is minimized with discussion of tactical nuclear weapons, as if less powerful nuclear explosions were somehow more acceptable and wouldn't lead to the use of bigger bombs. At no time, including the Cuban Missile Crisis, have we stood closer to the precipice of nuclear war. A simulation devised by experts at Princeton starts with Moscow firing a nuclear warning shot. NATO responds with a small strike, and the ensuing war yields more than 90 million casualties in its first few hours. The longer the war in Ukraine continues, and the U.S. and NATO seem determined to funnel billions of dollars of weapons into the conflict for months, if not years, the more the unthinkable becomes thinkable. Pouring with Armageddon to profit the arms industry and carry out a futile quest to reclaim U.S. global hegemony is at best extremely reckless and at worst genocidal. No doubt about it. Not only that, but the latest reports we have are of Russian gains and Ukrainian losses, where even Belarusian fighters are in the Donbass. The north is of the Donetsk is the hottest battlefield. Russian forces are seeking to surround Ukrainian groups. Amid fierce clashes, Russian pressure on Ukrainian forces from the north is increasing. DPR military officials have declared full control of a village on the right bank of the Seversky-Donetsk River. Ukrainian forces were also repelled from their positions in the resort areas of the Blue Links. To the east, Russian forces claim new victories across the front line. Multiple villages have come under their control. The recent gains allow joint forces to develop their advance and to cut Ukrainian communications. The Allied forces continue to develop their offense. Russian missiles and artillery are suppressing the positions of the armed forces of Ukraine. Meanwhile, in Lukashka, the mop-up operation in the city and surrounding villages were complete. Recently, a sabotage group from the Belarusian Nationalist Follett Battalion were preparing terrorist attacks in the city, but were captured by the LPR People's Militia. Some of the Belarusian fighters were destroyed, others taken hostage. Nazi fighters who committed crimes, including foreigners, are not granted with the status of prisoners of war and are not subject to exchange. According to the assistant to the Minister of Internal Affairs for the LPR, the sabotage group captured near Volchinarovka was involved in the coup attempt in Belarus. Since 2014, the Volat Battalion was involved in arms smuggling. They transferred military equipment from Ukraine to Poland and Belarus, where a coup d'etat was prepared. The Volat Battalion is part of the Kalinovsky Regiment, a military formation created in February of this year. It includes Belarusian militants who fled the country in 2020 when mass protests took place there, as well as militants who've been fighting in Ukraine since 2014. Most were members of the tactical group Belarus who took part in the fighting in the Donbass in 2014. The military command of the Belarusian Nazi formation is based in Kiev. The regime, the regiment, is funded by Poland, Britain, the Baltic state, Romania, and even Germany. To date, about 40% of the Kalinovsky regiment has been destroyed, including the commander of the Volat Battalion. The elimination of the Belarusian nationalist Ivan Marchuk with the call sign Brest in the Luhansk area was declared by the LPR authorities on July 6. His death was also confirmed by representatives of the armed formation. Moreover, the Russian army has now captured the first M777 howitzer from Kiev forces. First time. The M77 is a maximum rate of fire of 7 rounds per minute. That's fast, with a range of up to 40 kilometers. But the Russians are taking them out and capturing them. Be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, just to tie together the latest developments in relation to Ukraine, Russian Parliament, the Duma, is going to hold an extraordinary session today, July 15th, to declare war on Ukraine. That's a formal declaration of war, the likes of which the United States hasn't seen since, what, the Korean War? I mean, it's outrageous that this goes on and on and on. Our military, of course, is grossly handicapped. It's been gutted by the vax. It's turning pink. They're promoting all this transgenderism to have a woke military. We'll get this. Court blocks Biden admin from punishing unvaccinated Air Force members. Temporary restraining order on vaccine mandate. A federal district court in Ohio has temporarily blocked the Biden administration from enforcing a COVID vax mandate on thousands of Air Force service members who remain unvaccinated after having opposed the shot on religious grounds, but have had their religious exemption application denied. U.S. District Court Judge Matthew McFarland, who was appointed by former President Trump in late 2019, issued a temporary restraining order on Thursday, preventing the Biden administration from taking any action for at least 14 days against any Air Force member who opted not to take the COVID vax. The judge's ruling also grants the case class status, which means a temporary restraining order will grant relief to all members of the Air Force who submitted a religious accommodation request from the COVID mandate from September 1st, 2021 to the present, and were confirmed via the Air Force chaplains as having a sincerely held religious belief, but had their request denied or not yet acted upon. Plaintiffs had contended that such a class would include over 12,000 airmen. The action stems from a case filed in February 2022 challenging the Biden administration COVID-19 vax mandate. Plaintiff comprised 18 active duty members of the Air Force serving at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, Hurlburt Field in Florida, Randolph Air Force Base in Texas, and Dobbins Air Reserve Base in Georgia, plus all similarly affected members. The court has already granted a preliminary injunction to our 18 original plaintiffs and attorney in the case, Tom Brunn, of Surrey and Gimstad Law Firm, told the Epoch Times. The court has now granted a class certification. That's kind of the historic moment, Air Force-wide, service-wide. It covers every member of the Air Force. And now he's saying, why shouldn't I grant the preliminary injunction to all those folks? And I dare say it'll follow that once it's happened in the Air Force, it's going to happen in the Army and the Navy as well. I have no doubt. This is extremely welcome development. The whole idea of having these mandates, as of course with an experimental vaccine, is a violation of the Nuremberg Code, which requires that no one may be compelled to participate in an experimental medical procedure without voluntary consent, which entails spelling out all the pros and cons, all the benefits and risks, and that there should be no available alternative that is less invasive, such as HCQ and ivermectin. This is just a welcome development, but it's not nearly enough, because the Biden administration has moved forward aggressively in violation of the Nuremberg Code, which means they're committing crimes, medical crimes, under international law. Surprise, surprise. What's welcome here is that a court has had the intelligence and the integrity to move forward about it and do something constructive by dropping the bomb, by issuing a stay. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's spokeswoman had an insane reaction to the latest jaw-dropping poll. A New York Times Senate poll shot shockwaves through Washington, D.C., showing Biden's approval rating has sunk to 33%. According to Real Clear Politics, which is the most reliable source on polling, every poll but one that was released in the month of July showed Biden's approval rating in the 30s. But because it was a New York Times poll, it now became acceptable for the press to point out that Biden is the most unpopular president in history. Reporters, terrified Biden will lose to Trump in 2024 and therefore want to push him out of office, grilled the hapless press secretary about the findings, which showed 64% of Democrats want the party to pick a new candidate in 2024. In an attempt to try and dismiss the poll, Karine Jean-Pierre cherry-picked from the data to misleadingly claim that 92% of Democrats support Biden. I would say from that very same poll, there were 92% of Democrats who support this president as well. There are many polls that are going to go up. They're going to go down. This is not the thing we're solely focused upon. We're focused on things like today signing a bipartisan gun reform legislation, which will save lives. We have more work to do, absolutely. But that's not true. The poll showed only 70% of Democrats approve of Biden. 94% of Democrats under the age of 30 want a different candidate. Jean-Pierre got her percent, her 92%, from those who would back Joe Biden in a matchup against Trump. She then sought to claim Biden was really focused on gas prices and inflation. The problem with Biden poll numbers is the American people also blame him for the surge in inflation and the price at the pump. Biden injected trillions in new spending into the economy back in March of 2021, which inevitably caused inflation. He wanted to impose a Green New Deal style war on American gas and oil. Restricting the production of domestic energy predictably led to a spike in gas prices. Remember, canceling the XL pipeline and permits to drill on federal land. Even Democrats are fed up with Biden. The administration has no good answer. Jonah Goldberg has an interesting piece, Where Did Biden Go Wrong?, talking about this very poll. President Biden is in deep trouble. A New York Times Siena College poll released Monday is just the latest showing profound discontent with the president and the direction of the country. His job approval is a mere 33%. More than 6 in 10 Democrats want someone else to run for president in 2024. Only 13% of Americans think the nation is on the right track. So where did Biden go wrong? There are a lot of theories why he's in such a political mess. My own is they're all correct to one extent or another. It's predictive. It's what social scientists call an overdetermined phenomenon. Something is overdetermined when there's more than one plausible explanation for the cause of it. Really, what he means is you have overdetermination when there are multiple causes. Multiple causes. They're not just plausible. Multiple actual causes to bring about the same outcome. If someone were shot and stabbed and guillotined at the same time, that would be a nice case of overdetermination to bring about their death. For example, poll numbers for Biden began to drop after the calamitous decision to withdraw from Afghanistan again. High inflation, especially high energy prices, are poison for any president, particularly one who is so tardy to take it seriously. He betrayed his return to normalcy mandate when he decided to go big in the partisan pursuit of a Green New Deal. In addition, recent Supreme Court decisions on abortion, guns, and climate change were destined to fuel anger and frustration among progressives. Conservatives are happy to talk it all up to general incompetence, as are an increasing number of, for now, mostly anonymous Democratic politicians and strategists. And then there's his age, the most popular explanation according to the polls. A third of respondents say they want a younger candidate in 2024, a view held by 94% of Democrats under the age of 30. Another third gave poor job performance as a reason they want someone else. All are complementary and mutually reinforcing, and I subscribe to all of them to varying degrees. But the biggest driver of his problems is ideological and structural. Now, bear in mind, Jonah Goldberg does not seem to have absorbed that 2020 was massively stolen, that Trump actually won 410 electoral votes at coast to coast. The nation was red, where even California and Minnesota went for Trump, as I had been predicting. Bear that in mind as he continues. Biden will be remembered as the last Democrat president shaped by the old FDR coalition and its reliance on the white working class and bipartisanship. Meanwhile, the Democrat Party's ideological base is philosophically and culturally contemptuous of traditional politics and is all too happy to blow up that old coalition. He says the same is true of the GOP, but it worked in a different way when Trump carried out a hostile takeover of the Republican Party and turned it into a populist powerhouse. Picking Kamala Harris as his running mate after vowing to select a woman was an acknowledgement of this fact. Biden-Harris was a unity ticket. Two of the most incompetents, let me add, I mean, neither of them could conduct a bake sale, the church must thus be in a position to govern the what has heretofore been the biggest economy in the world. While his return to normalcy candidacy brought enough moderates and independents into the cold, into the fold, it was Biden's implied promise to hand the baton to the left that kept progressives in line, aside from a unifying animosity toward Donald Trump. Look, I view myself as a bridge, not as anything else, Biden said at a campaign event when younger Democrats shared the stage with him. There's an entire generation of leaders you saw stand behind me. They are the future of this country. If Biden had followed an Eisenhower-like policy of leaning into his image as a grandfatherly bipartisan figure above the childish bickering of Washington, it might have worked. As historian Fred I. Greenstein demonstrated in his brilliant book, The Hidden Hand Presidency, Eisenhower as Leader, Ike exploited his public persona of the befuddled grandpa while expertly working his will away from public view. But Biden let his vanity, specifically the prospect of outshining Barack Obama as a transformational president and his instinct to placate the left, get the better of him. Now he's left with a party that demands an agenda that Biden can't sell, in no small part because voters don't want it. Which brings us to the structural problem. Greenstein observed that one of the most profound sources of discontent with the performance of president was built into the job by the founders. The American president is asked to perform two roles that in most democracies are assigned to separate individuals. He must serve both as chief of state and as the nation's highest political executive. The roles seem almost destined to collide. The base of his party wants Biden to put all his chips on being a political force in an age that demands performative partisanship and anti-institutionalism. They're demanding that he bulldoze the institutional and constitutional impediments to their will by pushing for such moves as packing the Supreme Court and abolishing the filibuster or even the Senate itself. The make progressivism great again crowd is arguing for a kind of left-wing Trumpism. For all of those overdetermined reasons, Biden is not up to the job of selling transformational changes like that. Worse for him politically, such expectation would be too high for any president. Even a popular president couldn't get rid of the filibuster, and trying, even rhetorically, just to make him seem all the more ineffectual and out of touch. He has set himself up for failure, and now he's following through. Let me add, by the way, that 4chan has Hunter Biden's iPhone and is releasing 450 gigabytes more of private data, including the password. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in. Researchers on 4chan have begun examining the offline backup of Biden's phone. They found the password. They're going through the files. There's a whole lot there. In an exchange among 4chan, you guys should focus on dumping the iOS keychain to get the iCloud PW. With that, open the phone backup, and then you can dig. Tell us anything good from the laptop. It's already been scrubbed by backdafters. Kawana shows up claiming to be IT and tells us anything good from the laptop has already been scrubbed by back actors. Anything left is to get people. And tells us real data and trapping Joe is on the iPhone and iCloud backups. OP actually effing delivers. Another Anon managed to get a copy of the files and OP bulls a server. Hero Anon makes magnet link and gets torrent seeding up to how many Anons have already obtained the files? What can you do? If you don't have experience in cracking or working with iOS devices, you can still download and seed the original torrent at the very least. This gets the data into the hands of Anons who can crack it. Simply get more people onto the files. Here's a nice one. I was told Hunter had sexual relationships with a lot of people in the so-called elite, and families are ashamed, said the anonymous individual, adding the elite ought to prevent the humiliation because he effed half the kids' sisters and wives in the small elite circles. The data is alleged to have come from an iPhone backup drive that contained everything from deleted phone calls and text messages to web search history, including pornography habits. They have found porn videos of himself on popular pornography website, including using search terms such as Hunter biting, effing a hooker. It's all there. A whole lot of them. Here, just read some headlines. Hunter Biden effing a hooker, homemade, real leak, sex tape, porn effing. Hunter Biden videos and porn movies. Hunter Biden effing a hooker, homemade, real leak, sex tape, more. Dozens like that. The alleged documents also show text messages claiming there are more weapons in your son's room than in an armory. I'm at the end of my sanity, someone writes. What right do you effing have, Hallie? There are 5 guns in Dad's house. There are effing more weapons in your son's room than in an armory. What's my F up, owning a gun? 4chan is currently ongoing, can be followed here. There's a lot going on, including, by the way, a list of those who attended Epstein Island. Let me read. I mean, there must be, 150 names here. Some familiar to you. Alec Baldwin, Alan Dershowitz, Anderson Cooper, Barack Obama, Ben Affleck, Beyonce Knowles, Bill Clinton, Bill Murray, Brian Affleck, Charlie Sheen, Courtney Love, Demi Moore, Ehud Barak, Ghislaine Maxwell, of course. Looking for the familiar names. Jeffrey Epstein, of course. Jim Carrey, John Cusack, John Legend, Katy Perry, Kevin Spacey, Larry Sumners, Linda Pinto, Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. That's striking because this is the wife of the Rothschild, the head of the banking empire. She was there too. Mark Epstein, Mark Lloyd, Meryl Streep, Naomi Campbell, Oliver Sacks, Oprah Winfrey, Quentin Tarantino, Robert Downey Jr., Sandy Berger, Stephen Colbert, my God, Tom Hanks. We all thought Tom was such a good guy. Woody Allen, Will Smith, Will Ferrell. Wow. I mean, I hate to tell you, this is just disgusting beyond belief. And we're getting it out. This is the laptop that Christopher Wray concealed to not allow the public to access that it might affect the 2020 election. But Biden was wiped out anyway, frankly. The vote for Trump was so overwhelming. Hardly surprising they had to steal it in so many different ways. Meanwhile, Cronin says no additional gun control negotiations planned. Is Biden pushing for a ban on, guess what, sporting rifles? Senator John Cornyn, the top Republican negotiator for the Senate's newly revealed gun control bill, has said he will not take part in a new round of gun control talks concerning proposals aimed at limiting access to certain rifles or expanding background checks. Get this. I wrote to the Wisconsin State Journal, knowing for a virtual certainty they wouldn't publish. Here's what I wrote. Assault weapons and gun control. Democrats seize on the spate of recent mass shootings to promote their gun control agenda, but they mislead the public by suppressing some of the most important facts of the matter by design. On MSNBC, Claire McCaskill asserted 70,000 lives are lost to gun violence each year, not sorting out murders as opposed to suicide, police in performing their duty, or civilians in self-defense. It turns out that Americans use guns to defend themselves from criminals millions of times every year, saving an estimated 200,000 per annum lives that otherwise would have been lost. The AR-15 may be a military-style weapon in appearance, but it is not a weapon of war, which would be fully automatic when the AR-15 is only semi-automatic, but they like the sound of the phrase. Some claim that the Founding Fathers did not have military-style weapons in mind when they authored the Second Amendment, but it was actual military, not just military-style weapons they had in mind. The point was to have citizen soldiers who were armed and ready to rise to the defense of the nation in times of tyranny. They had it right then and right now. Some would say now more than ever. Stunning stuff. How bad is it that the media and the Democrats don't understand the least bit about the facts of the matter when it comes to gun control? They're complete airheads. They're completely vapid. They have nothing serious to say. And of course, the overwhelming majority of gun deaths are by handguns from gangs fighting it out in cities like New York and Chicago and Los Angeles. That's the overwhelming majority of deaths brought about by gun violence. But the Democrats aren't doing anything about it except fostering it by their strict gun control laws that prevent law-abiding citizens from having the ability to defend themselves and potentially interdicting and stopping some of the crimes being committed by the criminals who aren't going to give up their guns under any circumstance whatsoever. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So just looking for some of the latest news reports that have come in, I get this bulletin. Shopping mall signs warn of nuclear war emergencies. Radiation emergencies, what should I do? If a radiation emergency occurs, and just think about it, just says radiation emergency, it doesn't say nuclear bomb, doesn't say atomic bomb, it says if a radiation emergency exists, people can take action to protect themselves, their loved ones, and their pets. Yeah, right, fat chance. Get this. The Menlo Park Mall in Edison, New Jersey, is just one of many large shopping malls in upscale areas publicly warning people what to do if a nuclear bomb hits. They've been told by government to begin warning people because nuclear war with Russia is not only a possibility, it has become a likelihood. The horrifying reality that would be a nuclear blast is becoming so likely now over the Russia-Ukraine-NATO troubles in Eastern Europe that governments and now private sector industries are warning people about what to do when a nuclear bomb goes off. Below is a full warning sign at the Menlo Park Mall in Edison, New Jersey. Get inside, stay tuned. These signs and a new public service announcement from the New York City Office of Emergency Management, which came out earlier this week, are all instructing people that if a nuclear bomb goes off, get inside. The reason this effort is underway is that government knows it's caused such terrible troubles with Russia over the Ukraine situation that it is now likely we are going to be attacked by Russia with nuclear bombs. While the first trouble is, of course, that this is a problem of our government's own making, the second major problem is that the advice is utterly stupid. They tell people, get inside, good advice. If there's anything left standing to actually get inside of, Russia uses the Yards International Continental Missile to launch nuclear attack. Those missiles are equipped with an 800 kiloton warhead. The blast map below is a scientific model from nuclearsecurity.org showing the actual scientifically modeled blast effects of a single 800 kiloton nuclear bomb air bursting over New York City. The smaller yellow area in the center shows the initial blast area, all of which is evaporated. Absolutely nothing will be left. No people and buildings, no vehicles, no nothing. That's a smaller, and that exceeds all of New York, all of Manhattan. I mean, this is just ridiculous. It's all gone. The next in the grayish circular area, everything in this area will be physically knocked down and on fire. Not even the stronger concrete and steel buildings will remain standing. And everything, all of it, will be on fire. The next circular area toward the outer edge will be thermal damage. Things in this area may be severely damaged or knocked down, but some structures might remain standing as they erupt in flames. As for people in this area, anyone who is outside who sees a bright white flash will have third-degree burns all over their body. The final light gray area is where there will be light blast damage. Most structures will remain standing, but windows are likely broken. People in this area will be injured from flying blast debris. The signs then advise people: if you were outside when the blast hit, take off all clothes, shower, and shampoo to wash the radiation off immediately. Trouble is, there won't be any running water. The water mains will be ruptured from the blast, and the electric that powers the water pumps will all be off for miles. But wait, there's more idiocy. The signs tell people, stay tuned to local media and don't go outside until authorities tell you it's safe. There won't be any local media. It will all be blown up. All the TV and radio transmitters will be wiped out. There won't be any cell phone service either. The towers will be knocked down, the transmitters fried by electromagnetic pulse, and the electric will all be out. There won't be any internet service. All the internet lines will be blown up, and the wireless all offline from EMP or no electricity. Yet even though the advice is utterly useless, the signs have gone up anyway. Government doesn't do things like this for no reason. They're putting out these public service announcements, asking large retailers to put up these signs, because the government knows what's coming. After all, it's the government that's causing it all. Unless Americans mobilize right now and tell federal officials we'll not tolerate them starting a nuclear war with Russia over Ukraine, we're all dead. You, me, our wives, husbands, kids, extended families, we'll all be dead. Pick up your phones and start swarming members of Congress and the Senate, telling them we refuse to allow them to start a nuclear war with their economic sanctions. There's very little time left to act. It may already be too late. But we have to put forth the effort or all of us will be dead. I'm telling you, that says it all. I mean, it's just ridiculous. This is to forestall a sense of panic in the public. I have no doubt about it. To forestall a sense of panic in the public, hoping, you know, the public is just going to take it in stride. But it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to open the lines early. I have some other stories to report, but I'm willing to, you know, glad to take calls early. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, space war. China unveils a chilling AI satellite satellite swarms that hunt down and destroy enemy targets. Russia is building a new laser weapon to disable foreign satellites. What about the U.S. and Europe? Chinese scientists said they could now launch hundreds of mini satellites dubbed CubeSats from a large motherboard in space with deadly precision and speed. Weighing at 2.2 pounds, these tiny satellites are so complex they can only be controlled by artificial intelligence. According to researchers, the complexity of a large-scale space battle would be so immense as beyond the human brain and even some powerful algorithms. The study, published in the peer-reviewed journal Chinese Space Science and Technology, said unlocking the right AI to control the motherboard and CubeSats would have strong economic and military value. It comes as China alleges Elon Musk's SpaceX satellites came dangerously close to their new space station twice last year and threatened to shoot them down. Months later, Chinese and U.S. satellites had a game of geostationary orbit cat and mouse, according to the report. Shang Xin, who led research into the deadly swarms, said the CubeSats could be used to patrol and defend against attacks from rogue forces in space using sophisticated AI algorithm to tell the drones when and how to attack. Researchers have dubbed the multi-round greedy search strategy and can instruct up to four motherboards to attack nine hostile targets in less than a day. When put to the test, the algorithm was able to instruct CubeSats to destroy enemy targets in 4 minutes, 227 times faster than a generic algorithm, which took more than 3 hours. It's also extremely efficient and can plot routes that require the least amount of fuel and energy, meaning the swarms can stay in combat for longer. In the future, we will add randomness to the search strategy to overcome the limitations of the greedy algorithm and obtain global optimal results, Professor Zhang said. It comes as Beijing claims it has developed an anti-satellite AI system that has mastered the art of deception. According to the Morning Post, a trial of the lethal system found AI-controlled three small satellites to approach and capture a high-value target and repeated the exercise thousands of times. China has also launched an AI drone mothership able to operate and potentially launch military attacks autonomously in a chilling world first. According to the Chinese, the vessel is designed for marine research, but already there have been fears it could be used to launch attacks on the U.S. Navy and other adversaries. The Zhuhaiyun can hit top speeds of 20 miles an hour, can carry around 50 aerial surface and underwater drones. Meanwhile, experts have warned drone warfare could soon look something like something out of Star Wars. Beijing has invested heavily in drone warfare over the past decade as it aims to achieve its goals of military parity with the U.S. by 2049. And by the way, these defensive weapons are much cheaper than the satellites are designed to take out. Ex-Marine Brendan Mulvaney told The Sun, if we wait 10 or more years before we see a major conflict, the scope and scale of drones are going to change a lot. You may have effective and large munitions coming off of drones, but smaller drones can be weaponized to the point where you have this intermingling of long-range autonomous weapons. We often think of aviation drones, but there's a whole suite of unmanned vehicles bringing more capability, making it more challenging for the adversaries. Drone expert Seth Bronsman said, drones would not just slam into a ship with people on board. Drones from the air could attack machines in the sea, and we could see something that looks more like Star Wars. Meanwhile, Russia is building a new laser weapon to disable foreign satellites. Surprise, surprise. I guarantee you 100% they already have them. Deep in the Greater Caucasus mountain range, Russia is constructing a new laser weapon to be used for electro-optical warfare, disabling foreign satellites passing over Russian territory. Construction of the Kalina project, which started in 2011, is underway in the Corona Space Surveillance Complex located at the Chapal Moten Peak. Kalina's goal is written in bank-guaranteed documents from January 2014, that's 8 years ago. Create a system for the functional suppression of electro-optical systems of satellites using lasers. I guarantee you, anything they were planning 8 years ago is already functional, long since. The Space Security Complex, as described in a 2017 document, is a special quantum optical system to be used for electro-optical warfare, according to Precision Instrument Systems, a Russian scientific and industrial corporation, think of it as a counterpart to Raytheon, who was given the contract for the project by the Russian Defense Ministry. The project has been delayed several times. Progress has been extremely slow, citing a newsletter published by the contractors in 2016. One possible setback came in the form of the liquidation of NPT's FEMTO, a company tasked with developing the adaptive optics for the project in 2021. Kalina was also likely delayed by the economic sanctions imposed on Russia since the 2014 annexation of Crimea and the more recent wave of sanctions imposed by the West due to Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. Russia's new space toy. Kalina features a new telescope used to accurately aim laser beams at satellite housed in a specially constructed building built to withstand earthquakes up to magnitude 7. The laser beams are routed via mirrors and enter the telescope through an opening on the side, after which they're reflected back, causing them to form an image of the targeted object in a detector. While the telescope, along with a tunnel connecting it to the laser optical locator located in Corona, is already in place, it's impossible to tell how much internal hardware is installed. Kalina is the latest of a new generation of Russian laser system developed in recent years, including Perispet, a mobile laser system first announced by President Vladimir Putin in 2018, which Moscow said it advanced so far it could blind orbiting satellites and destroy drones. And what about the U.S. and other Western powers around the world? I doubt they have or even been working on such cutting-edge weapon project. Meanwhile, they're more interested in selling their old and defective weapons to Ukraine. I think that's got the right idea, 100%. There's more going on out there, of course, including that the January 6th committee only verifies information when it's on their side. Get this. When pressed over why the panel had refused to verify some of the more dubious claims by former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, multiple members of the House January 6th committee claimed it was simply not their policy to do so. We never call in witnesses to corroborate other witnesses or to give the reaction to other witnesses, Representative Zoe Lofgren said in an interview with CNN on Sunday. Lofgren's answer was in response to a question about unverified statements made by Hutchison, a former aide to the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Hutchison had claimed that in the White House on January 6th, Trump counsel Pat Cipollone had warned her that they were going to get charged with every crime imaginable if the president went to the Capitol building. Sources indicate, however, that Cipollone wasn't even present at the White House on the morning of January 6th, raising serious doubts about the truthfulness of Hutchinson's claims. Despite the bold question hanging over her testimony, when Sipilin was called in before the January 6th panel a second time, committee members never asked the former White House counsel whether the statement attributed to him were true. In an interview, Representative Adam Kissinger echoed Lofgren's insistence their glaring oversight was just a result of how the panel operates. We're not going to bring in someone to just sit around and ask them about what other people said, too, Kissinger said Sunday. That claim came crashing down on Tuesday, however, when the committee aired footage of the recent interview with Cipollone. As a video clearly showed, the panel had asked Cipollone to corroborate another witness and give his reaction, just not about Hutchison's allegations. Instead of questioning Cipollone about Hutchison's dubious portrayal of the events of January 6th, especially including he himself and his own actions and behavior that day, which committee members perhaps feared would fall apart under scrutiny, the Pelosi-assembled panel asked him about a statement Trump campaign advisor Jason Miller had made about another attorney, John Eastman. As it turns out, the January 6th committee does not verify the claims of its witnesses, except when doing so will produce a politically convenient outcome for the panel. Just prove positive, if anyone need more, that it's a complete and utter sham. The whole thing is a total fraud. A total fraud. Meanwhile, and this is just shocking, 70% of 10-year-olds cannot read as a consequence of the lockdowns. Children suffered the worst long-term consequences of the lockdowns. The State of Global Learning Poverty 2022 update found an alarming 70% of middle and lower class 10-year-olds across the globe cannot read. There is no greater freedom than knowledge, and reading comprehension is essential to our modern-day existence. Only the richer segments of the population, those with broadband connectivity, access to devices for the use of each family member, a place to study, availability of books and learning material, and a conducive home environment, among other conditions, were able to maintain a reasonable level of education engagement. We're now in the midst of an education crisis where people have fallen perhaps too far behind to catch up with their peers. Meaning ever, Latin America, the Caribbean, and South Asia saw the most notable declines in learning as schools are completely closed. Many did not even have access to online education. Sadly, many of the organizations have pushed for the lockdowns and school closures, such as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, would like to step in and help re-educate these children. They will try to reshape an entire generation of vulnerable children as they see fit. Fighting this learning crisis is a challenge of our time if we do not want to lose this generation of children and youth. Sorry, too little, too late. COVID-19 has devastated learning around the world, dramatically increasing the number of children living in learning poverty, said Jamie Savendra, Global Director for Education at the World Bank. With 7 in 10 of today's 10-year-olds in low- and middle-income countries now unable to read a simple text, political leaders and society must move swiftly to recover this generation's future by ensuring learning recovery strategies and investment. They're calling the phenomenon learning poverty, but the issue was not based on class. This drastic decline in reading comprehension is a direct result of lockdowns and school closures. The report tries to claim that learning poverty was prevalent before the lockdown, but there's no denying that allowing children to miss 273 days of school in certain areas of the world causes problems. The report says learning poverty violates children's right to education. Lockdowns and tyrannical crackdowns on the largely unlethal virus harmed all children across the globe. So now, children risk losing $21 trillion in lifetime earnings, equivalent to 17% of global GDP. Our model has been targeting 2030 for many years as a major turning point. Unsurprisingly, this report claims that if we follow the guidance of the same agencies who force school closures, we can attain a newly indoctrinated, educated population by 2030. Let me add that by my understanding, certain types of learning are relatively age-specific. In other words, if you don't absorb that information at that age, at that stage in your neurological development, it is far more difficult, even practically impossible, to recover at later stages of development. So I'm very suspicious that the situation has been a complete and utter catastrophe, for the population of the world. Here's a note about the true goals of the top globalist New World Order kingpins who secretly run the world, from a dear friend with deep intel connections. Their goal to be attained by deploying all the various systems of mass mind control, from basic to ultra high tech, to invade and control the mass mind of we the people, to the point we believe vaccines that disable and murder the masses are healthcare and good. Black is white, evil is good, and down is up. They are very close to attaining all of these goals. The average mind in America has been captured. The spell can only be broken with hardcore truth admitted by the mainstream media and by political leaders through the press. Join me after this break. Call in. You're welcome.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, you're welcome to join. Call in 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. Mitchell, let me get your opinion. I mean, these warnings about, you know, what's going to happen if you're exposed to radiation. I mean, this is just pathetic. Give me your take. Mitchell, do I have you here? Mitchell may have had to step aside here momentarily. Let me give you some more reports on some other developments taking place here. AOC has been very much in the news. Get this. Angry AOC admits Capitol Police held the doors wide open on January 6th. Earlier on Thursday, that would be yesterday, the Gateway Pundit, which is another highly reliable source, reported that Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, some guy called Occasional Cortex, or half a brain, had an epic meltdown after she was heckled by comedian Alex Stein on the Capitol steps. AOC wrote she wanted to deck Stein. After she spoke to a reporter and posted a streaming video about the incident where she accused Capitol Police of conspiring with the January 6th rioters. Does she realize what she's admitting here, what she's acknowledging? Ocasio-Cortez argued to Wu, saying police rousted Stein after pressure from her in-house leadership. For your information, we had to escalate the House leadership to get them to stop him and run his info. They did not turn until members interviewed and pressed them to. Ocasio-Cortez spoke to a liberal reporter about the incident, accusing the Capitol Police of working with the January 6th rioters. In the video, AOC, in effect, made a confession, admitting that the Capitol Police opened the door wide on January 6th. Listen, these insurrectionists, and that there were actual officers working with this, and we never got to the bottom of that, and we never got any answers about that. And then to this day, we're just supposed to pretend that it never happened. I have no idea what happened to the people on the inside who were very clearly sympathetic with what was going on, and opened the doors wide open from that. And I'm supposed to sit here and pretend like none of that actually happened? And the American patriot, who's a U.S. Marine veteran who worked overseas at a U.S. embassy, told the Gateway Pundit that the doors on the U.S. Capitol are electronically controlled, magnetic, locked doors, and that someone inside the security booth at the Capitol open the door. In other words, they could not have been opened except from the inside. Here is what we were told. Retired Marine. We're on the top level now, about 15 feet from the doors, just before they opened up. People are yelling and screaming. Everyone's cheering, all kinds of stuff. It's chaotic. But we're just kind of there. And then all of a sudden, the doors open up from the inside. I have a picture taken about 2 seconds before the door opened. And then I have a picture taken about 6 seconds later, and the doors were open. Jim Hoff, a wonderful reporter, by the way. And they were not open from the outside? Marine. They were open from the inside. Now, one of the stories I read recently was that some Marine major went inside and managed to run around and open up the doors. So I think that was on your website as well. But here's what I can tell you about magnetic locks. If a door is locked by a magnetic lock, it cannot be opened from the outside or the inside unless a person controlling the door opens a door by turning off the magnetic lock, which those doors, according to the photos I took, are equipped with. Jim Hoff. Holy cow, that's really big news there. Retired Marine. Now these magnetic locks, I worked in the American Embassy overseas. They are very, very strong. Jim Hoff. I'm sure, and they, you would think that the U.S. Capitol, they would have top security there. Retired Marine. Now, to give you an idea of how strong they are, you could tie a chain to the handlebars of the door and tie it onto a truck. And you can take off with a truck, and it's probably going to rip the door handles off, but it's not going to open the door. The only way those doors can be opened is that they wanted to be opened is from inside a security booth that is also equipped with a magnetic lock. Jim Hoff. Has this ever been reported? Retired Marine. Not that I've heard of. Jim Hoff. Oh, my God. This is really a big. Retired Marine. If those magnetic locks have been engaged, in other words, if the Capitol Police did not want people opening that door, now I can understand they might say we had police outside, so we didn't want to engage them. If they did not want those magnetic locks open, there is nothing, nothing, no person, no group of people, no hundreds of people who could have opened those doors, not one, unless the Capitol Police wanted those doors open. As soon as those doors were open, I was lifted off my feet. There was forward momentum. Free State, Kansas published a video of the magnetic doors being opened from inside the U.S. Capitol. It's clear the doors were open from the inside. So anyone who has any lingering belief that this whole January 6th thing isn't a put-up job, isn't a complete and total fraud, just consider what you're learning here. This is just staggering, staggering. We have a call here from area code 281. Caller, give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Jim, did you hear the latest Biden flub? Because I had to get away from the show for a little bit, so hopefully you didn't mention it.
No, I haven't heard. But it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous, Bruce, that Biden makes so many flubs. What's the latest gaffe?
Okay, the Palestinian-American journalist that was shot by Israelis, Shireen Abu Akleah, he said halfway Shireen Al-Qaeda.
It's really unsurprising, Bruce. He's cognitively incompetent. This is so massively embarrassing. You know, millions of Democrats. Mitchell is adding that he shook hands with thin air in Israel, too. I mean, This is just embarrassingly bad. The Democrats are making themselves look so irresponsible, so hypocritical, so traitorous. I mean, my God, millions are leaving the Democrat Party and registering as Republicans or going independent, and they're not going to vote for the Democrats. I mean, they know what's coming is going to be a tidal wave, an electoral tidal wave. So I'm convinced they're going to resort either to a nuclear war with Russia to prevent our having a midterm election or a new pandemic. And of course, Biden's already been talking about a new pandemic, and it looks as though Marburg's is a pandemic of choice, that in those who have been vaxxed, there's these miniature blood capsules that if they're activated by three blasts at a certain frequency from 5G's towers, they'll burst open and individuals will be bleeding from every orifice. It's gonna look horrible. It's going to scare the SHI out of everyone. And they'll impose a lockdown and require that they're going to have to do voting by mail, which we all know is theft.
Postpone the election altogether, declare an emergency, and just keep them in office.
That's right. There's no way around it. Now, Mitchell raises a possibility. Are the Democrats going to take a hostile takeover of the GOP? I don't think so. Mitchell, join the conversation. I'm glad to have you join. There's so much going on. What do you think about all this nonsense about preparing for radiation exposure, go inside as though there's going to be any inside to go into?
The idiocracy of life after nuclear fallout. I hate to imagine what Democrats will come up with should we live that long. We have to understand that, you know, as big as, you know, and as powerful as our modern nuclear weapons are, they would destroy many cities and create a lot of fallout. And it would, I don't know if it would be survivable for mankind, but to say you're going to use three nuclear weapons to take out all of the UK is, well, a fantasy, just because of the size and the weapons themselves. Now, you can take down a country a lot easier with an electromagnetic pulse detonation from a nuclear weapon. You can take more of those people down, so, or more individuals, more space down. I mean, you could wipe out the East and the West Coast and with just middle America that might have electric.
Mitchell, I think you may have missed a memo on the Satan 2. It carries anywhere from 10 to 15 multiple independent reentry vehicles. In other words, it's not just one bomb, it's 10 to 15.
I realize that, Jim, but they're, what, 150 megatons at the most? What size are they?
Well, let me see here.
And,
let
you know,
see.
Looking at the blast radius from like 150 megaton nuclear warhead over the center of essentially Manhattan, now you would essentially collapse most structures all the way over to Hoboken, New Jersey. All the way, you know, of course, to the end of Manhattan Island. And but you literally wouldn't wipe out everything everywhere. And so it's not saying it's a good situation. I'm just saying that they couldn't wipe it all out.
Hey, Mitchell.
Yes, Bruce.
Yeah, good to hear you again. Thanks for calling me back, too. I have a solution to prevent a U.S. first strike, a reverse Samson option. Say Russia or China declares that if nukes are launched, they're going to obliterate Tel Aviv. And that will prevent any U.S. first strike. I guarantee it.
That's an interesting observation. I would certainly think that if Russia is forced into a nuclear war, that Israel will not be spared. That would be my expectation. Would you agree, Mitchell? Yeah. Go ahead.
I believe that they wanted to reign supreme over the earth after the major powers destroyed themselves.
That was I agree. It's a variation on Helter Skelter, you know, Charlie Manson's idea of creating a race war between the blacks and whites, where Charlie believed that since the blacks were stronger, they'd prevail, but they were also dumber, and that they would need leadership, and then Charlie and his band would emerge from the mountains to provide just that. So Israel would like the U.S. and Russia to wipe each other out, and then Israel will emerge to be the new leaders of the world. I believe that's part of their game plan. Mitchell, would you buy into that?
Well, I'll tell you, the movie The Sum of All Fears, if you haven't watched it, it's a good watch, is essentially we're undercover Nazis in the West and in Russia, who work to foment a nuclear war between Russia and the United States and have us take each other down. God help all of them if this worldwide war starts. And, you know, Charlie Manson and his short, deluded thinking. So a band of white people were going to emerge from the mountains to lead the blacks after a racist civil war.
Yeah, that's right.
All righty then.
What's wrong with that image? What's wrong with that picture? Is that what you're saying?
Something doesn't compute, Jim.
Something doesn't compute.
Hey, I have one news thing to give you all before I go.
Sure.
This is from RT.com. Of course, our side of the media doesn't report or doesn't focus upon it. EU Commission sues Hungary over LGBT law. Brussels has targeted Budapest for allegedly discrimination and freedom of speech violations because Budapest was targeted over its controversial Children Protection Act, a law originally designed to tackle pedophilia and generally safeguard children's well-being. The law was amended last year to ban the display of homosexual content or gender change in educational programs for those under 18 or in media that reaches minors. They're suing Hungary for protecting children from the gay agenda.
Who is undertaking the suit?
The European Union.
That's crazy.
European Union. Yeah, and my hope is this, that once the winter comes and the dark winter descends upon the central countries of Europe, especially Germany, that the EU and NATO breaks apart, that they undergo to their own European spring and kick out all these globalists. I would love to see that. Of course, maybe it's a pipe dream, but if they do that, then that'll put the kibosh on a world war, in my opinion.
Mitchell. Mitchell, your thoughts?
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Bruce, thanks for calling in. I think Mitchell's having weather problems keeping his connection going.
I'm okay, Jim. I just got a phone call I had to take real quick.
Oh, not a problem, Mitchell. Yeah. Further thoughts about all of the above. I mean, the magnetic doors of the Capitol, actually, that's devastating all by itself. Would you not agree? I mean, it would have been impossible for there to have been access to the Capitol unless someone on the inside opened the doors, released the magnetic hold, that these are extremely powerful locks, and that the Capitol could not have been breached but for someone on the inside. I think that fact all by itself is devastating to the fraud that the Democrats are perpetrating on the American people by way of the January 6th hearings. Your thoughts?
Well, there is no doubt there was an inside job on January 6th. And what's really amazing is, you know, time and time again, Democrats accuse Republicans. They have impeachment trials. They have hearings. And it really is just a political cover-up for their own crimes. There's no doubt that, you know, the Obama administration, along with the Clinton campaign and the DNC, conspired to essential seditious and traitorous behavior to stop the Trump administration and the Trump presidency. There's no doubt.
Yes.
And, you know, here they're trying to cover their own ass with the January 6th hearings. The impeachment trial of Donald Trump over Ukraine. Quid pro quo. Well, we know who was quid pro quo, Joe. And once again, Democrats tried to cover their political failings and their political crimes, the crimes against this nation, Jim. And that's what pisses me off, is that people are they're so blinded they can't see the parallel track of what the Democrats are have done in the past and what they're doing today. And, you know, they really don't understand this political game that Democrats are playing. And, you know, the thing that really, really kind of makes me kind of angry is the uni party. You know, listen, the Democrat and Republican parties are private, nonprofit corporations. Okay? They're private corporations. The state governments have no legitimate right to recognize their private selection of a candidate for a general election. It gives these groups of criminals legitimacy and access to about $20 to $25 million worth of government benefits directly to the Democrat and Republican parties. That itself is you know, contrary to, you know, the neutrality that the governments must show during the elections.
Yeah, I think that's all correct, and that this is why they argued, you know, when Bernie Sanders protested that his supporters brought a lawsuit, that they had, you know, excluded, mm-hmm. they transferred 13 of the primaries that Bernie had won into Hillary's column to make sure she would be the candidate. They protested, they argued in court that they were free to do that because they were a private company, just as you're observing, that they were a private company and they were entitled to do anything they wanted, and that it had nothing to do, that, you know, voters had nothing to do with it. They basically were saying this is not a democratic operation.
Correct.
And it's just massively fraudulent. I mean, just...
Well, people have put their misplaced faith in the politicians and the candidates and the parties when that is, you know, they lie to get in the office. Our judicial system should be nonpartisan and honest. However, it's not. It's been weaponized by the Democrat Party, and, you know, the partisan slant that we have in our judicial system and the failure of Chief Justice Roberts not to really just make sure the Supreme Court doesn't have leaks, but the entire judiciary has stood the law on its head, one, to convict Trump supporters, and two, to exonerate Clinton and Democrat supporters. It's clear evidence that we have a two-tier justice system and that there really is no justice left.
Yeah, I wish I could argue with you about that, Mitchell, but the politicalization of the Department of Justice itself, the Attorney General of the United States, I mean, he may be an appointee of the president, but it's really wrong that he should be taking such a partisan attitude and punishing members of the other party when he's supposed to be standing for the equal application of the law to all citizens of the nation. It's just shameless.
It really is, Jim. It's shameless. We got about 30 seconds to a minute.
Well, as always, Mitchell, I appreciate your thoughts. Anything you'd like to add by way of closing out today? I want everyone to be sure. I mean, we're on a weekend. Listen, even the government is now warning people of a nuclear attack. Take it to heart. You know the vax is coming. I tell you, it's going to be Marburg's. We just do not know how much time we have left. And this is why show after show after show, I encourage you to spend as much time you can with people you love. We don't know how much time we have left. Spend it wisely with people you care about. Don't squander your time. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back on Monday with more from The Raw Deal. We'll see you then.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...